The epistle for the Mass of St. Pius X is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we had confidence in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God in much carefulness, for our exhortation was not of error, nor of uncleanness, nor in deceit. But as we were approved by God that the gospel should be committed to us, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who proves our hearts. For neither have we used at any time the speech of flattery, as you know, nor taken an occasion of covetousness, God is witness, nor sought we glory of men, neither of you, nor of others. Whereas we might have been burdensome to you as the apostles of Christ, but we became little ones in the midst of you, as if a nurse should cherish her children. So desirous of you, we would gladly impart unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you will become most dear to us. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John. At that time, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He says to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He says to him, "Feed my lambs." He says to him again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He says to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He says to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, the crisis of today's world, the crisis of today's church, is a crisis of leadership. God has created us as human beings to live in society. We have need of society, and as such, we have need of authority. We have need of people above us to organize us and direct us towards the good. And as a result, God has made our human nature and so constructed us that there have to be good parents to direct and instruct children. There have to be good mayors, good governors, good presidents to direct their citizens, their coalition towards the common good, of the city, of Denver, or the state of Colorado, or the United States of America, the nation of the United States of America. There have to be good church leaders, good bishops, good popes to direct all the faithful towards their salvation, to organize dioceses and conduct this great business of leading souls to heaven in the various areas around the world. And while this is the way that God has designed human nature and meant human society to be, authority is yet failing at every level today. Parents no longer want to tell their children what to do and take responsibility for the upbringing of the children, whether they want to let their children decide everything. Mayors no longer want to stop crime and enforce laws in their cities. And of course, bishops, they are no longer excommunicating people who have deviated from the faith, especially the political figures who profess to be Catholic, but live in a way that's opposite to the Catholic faith. These bishops no longer enforce the dogmas of the faith. They no longer stand up against the world for the rights of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because there is such a breakdown of authority today, the common people struggle. They really struggle to trust and have faith in those who are above them. Often our leaders come across as being corrupt and self-serving. We often get the impression from our politicians and our church leaders that they're not making a decision in a disinterested way in order to foster the common good or foster the spiritual good. We get the impression rather that they're making a decision that's calculated to promote their own self-interest, to enrich themselves, to hold on to their power, to make themselves look good. So we have difficulty respecting and trusting our leaders. Leaders also seem to be extremely weak today. They waffle. They change their mind. They easily buckle under pressure. There's an immense pressure today to basically unravel the moral fiber of society. And there are very, very few who are willing to stand firm, perseveringly, against this onslaught, against morals. How many public leaders are willing to remain strong and stand firm against evils like abortion or homosexuality, birth control, divorce, all of these, the transgenderism, all of these things that really were unthinkable maybe a century or two ago. And it's like you have a dike holding back the floodwaters, and you need a lot of hands to push against the dike to stop the waters from overflowing. But there's far too few hands pushing against the dike, willing to stand there and hold firm against the immorality that is being forced on human societies today. Besides being selfish and weak, many of today's leaders often have a third feeling, and this is quite simply a lack of any spirituality, a lack of any faith, supernatural faith, any deep attachment to God. And this is also something that's needed to be a good leader, to direct any people, whether it's a parent or a priest or a governor. They need to be people of faith, men and women of faith. They need to have a vision of what human nature is, of the supreme good, of what we're made for, how we're to be directed to that. Whereas our leaders often today are naturalistic, they're materialistic, they don't have this supernatural vision. And as a result, they don't have any fixed principles, and they don't have a clear vision of where they need to lead people. And so their worldview being empty, they do not follow through with what they need to be doing. And if I mention these three feelings that we often remark in today's leaders, the selfishness, the worldliness, the weakness, it is in order to contrast them with our beloved patron, St. Pius X. One of the main characteristics of St. Pius X is his incredible leadership skills. He was an unbelievable leader. If we look at the 2,000-year history of the church, we have to say his pontificate was in the top five, had to have been at least in the top five, if not the top three pontificates of the 2,000 years, because of how brilliantly he governed Holy Mother Church. One of the bishops who knew him, Monsignor Baudrillard, he identified in St. Pius X three characteristics that are like the opposite side of the coin of what we see in modern political and church leaders. Namely, and I quote, "His look, his word, his whole being expressed three things: goodness, firmness, faith. Goodness was the man himself. Firmness was the leader. Faith was the Christian, the priest, the pontiff, the man of God." Let us just consider these three characteristics of St. Pius X so that we can be edified, and also so that we ourselves can see an example for when we have to have charge over other people, how we should lead them. People who know St. Pius X as the great champion against modernism might be surprised to hear that one of his characteristics, one of his primary characteristics, was goodness. But this is definitely the case. There is a very great charm about St. Pius X. He was extremely unselfish. People who came into contact with him immediately trusted him. They got the impression that this man does not act for himself. He wants what is good for me. He wants what is good for those he's taking care of. He was a very noble and unselfish man. There is this incident right after he became pope, and his secretary of state Cardinal Mary Dalval was basically working with the diplomatic corps. So there's all these envoys from around the world, from different countries, who came to speak and pay their respects to the new pope. And he sent them all upstairs. He sent the diplomatic corps upstairs, and they came back downstairs, and it was just kind of awkward. They were just kind of standing there. They weren't saying much. He was expecting them to have to be a lot of chatter. And here's how he describes the situation. "I wondered what had happened upstairs. Had there been some unpleasant hitch or unfortunate blunder? Or what else was it that caused this marked restraint and grave demeanor? Thereupon, quite abruptly, the Prussian envoy broke the spell. 'Monsignor,' he exclaimed, 'tell us, what is it about this man which attracts us so much?' 'Yes, tell us,' echoed several others." St. Pius X captivated them when they came in his presence. He had a magnetic presence. There was this goodness that radiated from him. And what was attracting them was quite simply his virtues that could not be hidden. His humility, his great charity towards his neighbor, his kindness. And this characteristic of St. Pius X, coupled with his firmness, made it really difficult for his enemies. He made a lot of enemies because he stood for the truth. He stood for what was right. But at the same time, his enemies could not help but respect him. When they came into contact with him, they could not help but admire this man. They would say, his enemies would say, "We disagreed. We went separate ways. But I respect that man." Besides this, of course, St. Pius X was obviously a good leader in that he had very high supernatural ideals. He possessed the faith, and the faith was what directed all of his activities. He was a man of prayer. He was closely connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. He confided everything to our Lord. He looked for light in very, very difficult decisions that he had to make that concerned the entire world. What higher position of authority is there than to be the vicar of Christ? So St. Pius X's intense interior life enabled him to have a very clear vision of the affairs of the world. So when people talked to him, they were just struck. It's like, wow, he sees everything. He was like an eagle flying, you know, way up in the sky and able to perceive everything with great clarity. So again, Cardinal Mary Dalval, he says, "Pius X had the clear vision of the upright, and a clear vision that no falsehood or sophistry or hypocrisy could manage to deceive. Quietly, with unshaken calm, he denounced and condemned evil wherever he saw it. No consideration could make him bend. Pius X showed himself a ruler." And this quotation brings us to the third characteristic of St. Pius X, the one that we know him best for, and that is just his strength, his firmness. And if we think about it, if he had this clarity of vision, this strong faith, and he also had this goodness, but he did not have firmness, it would have been useless. It would have been useless. I mean, not totally useless, but as far as his leadership goes, it would have been useless. He would have seen what he needed to do. He would have attracted people by his virtue, but he would not have followed through. He wouldn't have done what he needed to do. That was not St. Pius X. He was incredibly strong. Cardinal Mercier, the Cardinal of Belgium during the pontificate of St. Pius X, the famous Thomas, he said the following: "The winning kindness of the Holy Father had none of the soft sentimentality of the weak. Pius X was strong. And this, unless I am mistaken, is the characteristic note of the late Pope, a wonderful combination of fatherly tenderness with a force of character that made him master of himself and imparted to his soul steadiness of equilibrium." St. Pius X was not weak. He was a very strong and firm man, and he did not like weakness. He did not tolerate weakness in his subordinates. He would call it out sometimes. Cardinal Mary Duval says, though nothing could surpass the sensibility of his affectionate temperament, in Pius X, there was no trace of weak sentimentality or of unreasonable emotion. As Cardinal Mercier says, Pius X had a strong character. If others lost control over their feelings and gave way in his presence to an excessive display of mere sentiment, esto vir, be a man, was the reply which rose constantly to his lips and which he accompanied with a firm and energetic gesture. See, Pius X was in the habit of saying to people, come on, be a man. Be a man. Get control of yourself. Be firm. Be strong. I just want to give you one example from his life of his firmness. It gives us an idea of how he combined all three of these characteristics, the goodness, the strong faith, and the firmness. As an example, I gave to our school students when we started school on the Feast of St. Pius X 2 years ago. It was a situation where the government of France was run by Freemasonic leaders. And these Freemasonic leaders were coming to the Pope and they were saying, look, we're going to take away all of the churches, all of the property of the church, and we're going to take away the state subsidies of the priest unless you agree to let us run the church in France. This is something that Napoleon had done, and now this Freemasonic government was doing. We get to name the clergy, we get to name the bishops and everything. We get to make the decisions with regards to the church, and then you get the church. You get to still have your churches, your revenues, the priests will get paid, and all that. So St. Pius X had to make this difficult decision what to do, to make his priest penniless, to surrender the buildings. I mean, we love our beautiful church. We love St. Isidore's. It's such a blessing to have this church here. But just think of the government came to us and they said, look, either you let us decide what priests are going to be here and how things are going to be run here, or we're going to take your church away. You're going to have to find somewhere else to go to church. You're going to have to find some hall, some hotel room, whatever you can find, your resources. What's your decision? This was the decision that St. Pius X had to make, but on a much bigger scale. And that night that he had to make the decision, he went down into the underground of the Vatican, to the archaeological digs where the tomb of St. Peter was. And he prostrated himself by the tomb of St. Peter and he prayed to God for light, like hours and hours. He was there praying for God to direct him what he needed to do in the situation. And finally, as the sun rose, St. Pius X also rose from the ground and, went upstairs, and he, through this prayer, he understood what he needed to do. And he told the Freemasons, no. If I have to consider, on the one hand, my priests going penniless and our churches being taken away and us being slaves to godless men, I would far rather choose us being penniless. You can take those churches. So my dear faithful, today, we honor our great patron, St. Pius X, and we think about his great qualities of leadership, the goodness, the spirit of faith, and the firmness with which he ruled the church. He was totally unselfish. He had a clear vision of the supernatural good, and he was a man who was totally unyielding when it came to the rights of God. And as I say, the thing is that every single one of us in this church, at some point in our life, to a greater or lesser degree, we all have the duty of exercising leadership over others. We have people who we direct, whether because we're a parent, because we're a teacher, a priest, a nun, because we're a foreman on a job site, we're an employer, whatever it may be, all of us to some degree have to direct others. And
our world desperately needs good leaders. Our world desperately needs good Catholic leaders. And we must want to foster in our souls these three characteristics of St. Pius X so that we can imitate our patron and promote the reign of Christ the King in this world as he did so well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.